form the whole basis for what I say. So take a look in your Bible at John chapter 14, please. At verse 12. John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Perhaps not many of us experience that, but it's the truth. This is God's word. So how do we hear so many prayers, right in our churches, in our families, maybe in your private life? So many prayers offered, but not necessarily answered. Well, we've concocted a lot of excuses and ways of explaining what is really unanswered prayer. But what do you think about that? What is this text really saying to us? I remember once when I was a kid, and I've always been interested in the power of prayer. So as just a little child, I went alone in a back room, and I thought I was going to try it out. And with no one around, I got on my knees and I prayed. And I asked God, I said, "Now, God, when I get up, I'm going to command this chair to move. Please show me your power." So I got up and I walked over to that chair and I confronted it. And I said, "Chair." Well, I got more action just there than I did. I said, "Chair, move." You know what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No. And frankly, I thought of it, it's wonderful that it didn't move. If a little wind had gone through and rocked that thing, I'd been over the neighborhood telling my buddies, "I can do this, man." And I'd probably develop a sideshow or something. That's not right. That's called levitation, as you probably know. And that's a part of the occult world. The demons have all kinds of power. And we don't want to experience that, nor aid anyway in their work. Well, fortunately, I've grown up a little bit. And I've had the privilege over years of counseling people who, older in life, facing death perhaps, and teaching them how to pray exactly. This text is pretty specific, don't you see? And we need to know these basic lessons. They are so important. In this particular text, Jesus is teaching us how to pray with power. And that's my subject. How do I pray with power? And Jesus instructs us here, and he gives us several just answers to questions here. I'm going to ask three questions, and this text, I hope, will provide the answer. Now, the first is this. Exactly what is prayer? What is it? What's the meaning of it exactly? What is prayer? Well, look in the first verse we had there. I'm going to sit down for a little bit. Verse 12. Observe in verse 12, there's a connection between his going and my praying. Do you see it there? I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. I've had many people ask me, what in the world does that mean? Jesus raised the dead. I can't do that. Nor can any other Christians that I've seen do that. I couldn't even make my chair move. Then he adds, because I am going to the Father. We have to understand the connection between when I pray. I have to know the connection between his going to the Father and the work I want to see happen. And then the next verse, he introduces the matter of prayer. He changes from what you're going to do to what I do through your prayers, says Jesus. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So there's a connection between our praying and his position now at the right hand of God. That's what he means when he says, I'm going to the Father. And there's a connection between what we pray and what Jesus does through the prayer. Actually, then, Christ's work today is accomplished through our praying. These greater works are his work, but they're done through our praying. For example, one that's incontestable. It is greater work to raise a person from spiritual death to life eternal in Christ by our witnessing, to see lives transformed spiritually. That's a greater thing than getting a body resuscitated. The physical body is not so great as the undying, ever-living soul. And also, Jesus did what he did, walking about the country on his two legs, going from one place to another, talking to people, dealing with them, helping the few he could get to. But today, God puts his hand through the church and touches millions of lives. Right today, there'll be millions, hundreds of millions who worship God, and hopefully there'll be many thousands who turn their lives over and are born anew and raised up from the death of their sin. So prayer is a powerful thing. It is God's way of carrying on his work. That's what prayer is. That's the way he does his work largely today. Now one day, whether we pray or not, he's going to come back. And the Bible teaches us in the glorious passages in Revelation, he will appear like if a great ruler came on a white steed, flashing from the heavens, and he will confront all of the enemy and silence all of the opposition once and for all, and bring judgment to all the nations. That will be, whether we pray or not, he's going to do his thing. Okay, the next question is one that I have asked people a lot of times, and almost never have I had this question answered. I even decided once or twice to ask a whole congregation the question. So I've stood and faced hundreds of people at one time on an occasion or two and asked them this question. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Not just to pray, but what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name as this text is talking about? And I get sort of a blank look from people, and I say, now, I mean this pointedly. Suppose I get down on my knees right here, and if you've actually done that, knelt beside a big church pulpit or something, and said, now, right now, I'm kneeling, and I want to make this prayer really get through so it's answered. What do I have to do? How do I make this prayer in Christ's name? And I don't get any answers. I said, now don't just tell me, just say those words, in Jesus' name, amen. It's got to be more than that, because I hear that a lot, and the prayer and the answers don't come. So what makes the prayer in Christ's name like the text here is saying? How do I do it? and I kept pressing him. Finally, a man got irritated enough to answer from the back row, and he just hollered out, "Just say the words." Well, he knew that wasn't the right answer, but that's all he could come up with. It doesn't just mean saying the words at the end of the prayer. Well, what does it mean? In the Bible, this phrase, "the name of the Lord," means something very, very special. When Jacob was asked by God in a night where he wrestled all night with God, this was a big showdown of his life with his brother, his murderous brother Esau. And when he prayed and Jacob called on God, God said to him, "Now, Jacob, what is your name?" He had to say, "My name is Jacob." And you know what that means? Jacob, the word Jacob was given him upon his birth. His angry brother Esau was a twin brother born just ahead of Jacob. And Jacob came forth from the womb grabbing and holding his brother's heel. And so one in that day, one who grasped the heel of his brother, that was an expression for saying you supplant him or trick him or deceive him, rob him. And that's who Jacob was. He was the deceiver. And God caused him to be named that by his mother. So Jacob the deceiver, the one who puts down men, he's a trickster of the people. That same fellow is the one now wrestling with God in that showdown. And there in Genesis 32, he says to God, "But what is your name?" He's not asking the title by which God goes and responds. He's saying, "Who are you, O God? Tell me who you are. You've found me out, and you've named me the trickster. You know me." And God said, "I'm changing your name now to Israel." And that means that you can get from God that same way. Not just prevail with man. You can prevail with God. And that's what the name Israel means today. And you see it in the newspapers all over the place. It came from Jacob, whose name was changed. So he didn't just get called by some other letters that we pronounce like this. That's not what it means. It means his heart and life were changed. He was now Israel. Who is God? Well, take a look in your Bible at it's Psalm 116. Turn back to the 116th Psalm. Look at verse 4, 116, verse 4. "Then I called on the name of the Lord, O Lord, save me." See, it doesn't mean I then pronounced his name. I was calling on the person of the Lord. The name of the Lord means his person. And when you know his name, those who know his name will trust him, says the psalmist in another place. "So I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me." And look at the truth that tumbles out with that. The Lord is gracious and righteous. That's who he is. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. "When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." He's talking to his soul. So tell your heart that the Lord is good and we can trust in him. He is trustworthy completely. That's who the Lord is, and we know him in this way. I wanted to take the word again, go back to the text, and he says in verse 13, "I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now we've annexed this little word, this preposition, in. And this means a lot. In the scripture, one man wrote a book, just a whole book, on this one little word, in Jesus. And he maintained that the central theme of the Bible is in Jesus Christ. What it means to come out of our own lives of sin and waywardness from God and step into Christ and stand before God in Jesus, having gone to the cross where he died for our sins and believed, and the scripture says believe in him, or come over into Jesus by faith, by trusting him. Believe in his name and be saved, the scriptures say. Well, that's a trusting in his person, in all that he is and what he has done for us. So a key phrase in all of the Bible is in Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn to the book of John again, and let's go over to chapter 16. Verse 16:23 of John. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. The day of his resurrection. And he says, there's a day coming when I'm gone to be back to the Father. And in that day, you won't be just asking me. And then right in the next breath, he is saying, ask me. Asking my name. What does that mean? He means that I'm ending my period of praying for you, and you used to praying your prayers and doing it instead of you. But in the days when Jesus was on earth with his disciples, they would watch him pray and say, boy, we'd like to learn to do that. And he says, there's a day coming when I won't be just doing your praying. And look what he says instead. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. He says, I'm going to introduce a day in Christianity, in my followers' lives, that will be far greater than when John, the disciple, leaned back on Jesus' breast at the Lord's table and asked him something intimately. Something better than that, where you can go to the Father yourself and pray through me in my name. Okay, let's go see if we can get it any clearer. Verse 24, until now you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. You're just not going to be whispering something to me and I do the praying. No, you're going to do the praying, and you do it in my name, standing in my person as a Christian, as a child of God. One I've purchased with my own blood on the cross. And then he adds, and I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. I won't have to intervene and be an intercessor and carry you tell me what, and then I'll go tell the Father. Oh, no, he says, you just go right to the Father. But remember, you go in my name, and the Father will hear you. So he says in verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and believed that I came from God. If you are in a right alignment with Jesus, then you can go to the Father in his name, and he's going to answer your prayer. He will hear you and answer your prayer. I know that some questions come in your mind, but let's get this down first, and then we'll try to answer a little bit of that. Back in World War II days, as a young sailor, I came home to Tennessee after I came back from the war. I was on a destroyer in the Pacific. And when I got back, I got finally to see my family. So I went home to see them. And I carried in my little bag there a special treasure. It was about that long, and it was just a pin that I suppose sailors could give to their girlfriends. Well, not having any prospects on the horizon, I decided to keep for myself. So I kept this little pin. It was an exact replica of the ship that I had served on, a destroyer. And so I thought, well, that's a woman's brooch or something. I need a way of having this for a tie clasp, because I'm going to be getting out of the Navy. The war was ending. So I went to my dad and I said, can you tell me a jeweler who might take this on and take this little pin, and I want to use it as a clasp. I want it to be slung between little gold, and I found there must be a way that somebody can make this into a tie clasp and sling it between the gun turrets fore and aft. And he said, well, sure, I got a friend right here who can do that for you, but you're leaving. And I said, yeah, I've got to go back tomorrow. Well, he said, that doesn't give much time. And he said, they're so busy with the nearby base that was there, an armor base. You'll have a hard time getting to them. I said, well, what can you suggest? He said, I'll tell you, go to this friend of mine, and you tell him up front who you are. And he's a good friend. So I took my little pen up to this jewelry store. My heart sank because it was just full of soldiers from the base. And finally, the owner himself saw me standing there, and he came to me. And he said, what can I do for you, sailor? And I said, well, my name is Harold Burchett. Randall Burchett is my father. And before I could ask my request, he said, wow, that's wonderful. He's a good friend. Well, I didn't know he had a son so old. I said, well, I got a brother a few months older than I am. And so he said, well, that's good. Your father's my friend. What can I do for you? And I told him, and I said, and I knew I had two problems. One, could he do it right away so that I could get it by the next day? And two, how in the world would I pay for something like this? I wondered what it's going to cost. So I didn't say that to him. And he said, I think I can figure out a way to do this. So he took a little chain off of another tie clasp, and he took out the precious stone that was in that. And anyway, he said, you come right back, and I'll try to have it ready for you. I said, when? And he said, this afternoon. That'd be quick enough. I said, yes, sir. So I was back there that afternoon. I went in there, and he handed it up to him. There it was, a clasp, the little gold chains on each side, and he had removed a precious stone and laid that aside. And in fact, he had destroyed one thing that he might make this. It was slung between the forward gun turret and the aft gun turret, and it was just perfect. And I kept that for 40 years probably. And you know something? I said to him, well, my next matter, how much is it? And he said, oh, that won't be anything. You see, son, he said, my father, your father's my friend. So I went, and how glad I was, I went in the name of another. And it was the name I carried. I was born into that family, and then I used that name when I made my request. Do you pray like that? It all depends on the one whose name you carry into the prayer. Not just ask and ask and beg, but bring that name in. And that's what counts. Do you know what the weakest part of your prayer probably is, if you're like most people? The same as my children. When they finish their prayer, and I finally called them family meeting over this, I said, quit, no more praying right now. I want to find out from you. You're all saying this strange long name at the end of your prayer. It sounds like, in Jesus' name, amen. What is that long name, in Jesus' name, amen? You know what I said, don't you? And the reason you know it is because maybe you do it that way. That's the most important part of the prayer, after the address, I suppose, after you address God in the proper way. Your whole prayer is dependent on this. So I said to my kids, don't say that anymore. And then I began to tell them how to pray. You tell God at the outset of your prayer, Father, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to say that carefully. And why don't you say it at the beginning of the prayer, and then just say amen at the end. And you don't have to just keep saying, and Lord, Lord, oh dear Father, you know, muttering things. Don't mutter anything in prayer you don't really mean. Say it like you really talk to anybody else. Talk to God clearly, and make that weakest part of your prayer a mainspring of your whole prayer. That everything in praying depends on the name of the one you bear as you go to the Father. Pray in Jesus' name. And that's the prayer he promises to answer. Finally, what may we expect when we pray? I've talked to you about the definition and meaning of prayer, how to pray in Jesus' name. And finally, what may I expect when I pray? There are no tricks required for prayer. You don't have to, if I just believe hard enough, God will do it. You can't crank up faith that way. That's not even what faith is, and that's not the function of faith. Faith is that wholehearted agreement with God when you determine the will of God. And the first part of prayer is determining God's will. What does he want in this matter? What would honor him more or most? And once you make that determination in your heart, and you may have to spend some time, maybe days even, praying and searching God's mind and heart. But once you know what God's will is, then you declare in faith that you stand in Christ's name and God's going to hear and answer that prayer. And I recall talking to a lady, and she said, well, I'm at work, you see, and I learned to pray there. I got this headache, and I just concentrate and just really try to believe and concentrate in faith that this headache is no more. And so she's trying to make mind over matter or something. That's not the way to pray. No tricks required. Just follow the text. And God will teach you and train you what he means by prayer. He wants you to be able to pray. And here's another thing. Don't try that old trick that a lot of people use. God always answers my prayer. He does? Oh, yeah. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says, wait a while. Well, then every sinner in the world, he'd always have the prayers answered. At least they'll get a no. And the Bible says he'll give them a no too. And he says, let not a person of the wrong stripe think he'll get anything from God. The Lord does deny prayers that are not according to his will. The scriptures make that very clear. So, line your prayers up. When you cannot ask something that's selfish or wrong, and at the same time pray in the name of Christ. praying in the name of Christ is not just saying the words, but it is a heart alignment with God. And as you pray in Jesus' name, you will be praying according to the will of God. And he'll answer the prayers, and he does. You may have to pray a while till you get yourself completely aligned with his will. Here's something that'll help you. It has certainly helped me. Look at verse, we're back in John 14 again. Look at verse 25, and you see a special help. All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's assistance is specially to comfort us in the battle of prayer, to strengthen us, to guide us into an alignment with God's will. So you, every time when you are locked in a struggle in prayer, something that is really a war practically, and the Bible does use the word struggle, wrestle, in connection with praying more than once. So as you pray and struggle in a special combat in prayer, you have the guidance of the Spirit, because we do not know exactly how to frame our prayer. But Romans 8, 26 and 27 give the instruction about praying through the Spirit's guidance. So he will guide you and enable you to pray properly. Let me just give you a story that is from my own experience. And maybe it'll help you to pray. And I don't be thinking about what I did or that I got special power in prayer. No, the chair didn't move, remember that. But God does answer prayer. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this around here or not, but it'll bear repeating if I have. Years ago, when my family were all just little ones, the youngest would have been 3, maybe, something like that. So we had two sons, two daughters, and my wife was taken ill while I was at a conference. And it turned out it was thought to be a terminal ailment. So she was just a young bride of mine. We had these four kids. And I was speaking at a place with a very exacting assignment, and I was the chief speaker. Some of you may know the place, it's Romney, New Hampshire. In its heyday, it was a big, thriving center for the gospel and devotional life preaching. And it's located way up in the mountains in the northern part of New Hampshire. And you go out in this area, and there's mountains surrounding you, and the Christian encampment was out in the pines, gorgeous, huge pines. And we had been allotted a cottage there, and we were there in this cottage for, I guess, a week as I was the speaker. And I was heavy burdened with the cares of the family. My wife, I had to put her on a train and ship her to Boston, and told her, as soon as I wrap up the meeting in 2 or 3 days, I'll be right there and I'll take care of the kids in the meanwhile. And then the bell would ring and I got to go for another message. I was speaking in the mornings and the evening, both. So meanwhile, I'd get the kids in hand and I'd race out to a little prayer spot I staked out under the pines there, and I'd get on my knees and pray to God. So it was a real tough time. And to add insult to injury, the director of the camp came to my cottage, and he said, "This is very embarrassing, Pastor, but I have to tell you that you owe us $20. I didn't have any money hardly at all. I just hope I had enough money for gas to get back. And so I know there'd be some honorarium coming for my speaking, but that would come later probably. That was the usual thing. And so I said, well, how is it I owe money? He said, well, you brought an extra child or two, I forget what, and that came to $20. And in those days, $20, oh man, that was a lot of money to me. So, but I didn't say anything to him. I said, okay, I'll see what I can do. And he said, I'll come by on my way out and make arrangements. So then I went out under the tree to my trees, to my prayer garden, and I said to the Lord, $20 out of the pines. I don't have anything, and I'm certainly not going to go around and ask to borrow some money. And I said, Lord, please bless this work here that you brought me here to do, and don't make me go out in debt to this place. Give $20 somehow. I don't know just how to pray that. So anyway, the next morning, I got the kids up early, and I said, get all your stuff together and stack it in the car, and I got to prepare for the first message. In fact, I guess it would be the last message of the day, of the whole week. And I said, you get the stuff in the car, get all packed so we can get right out, and I'll have to stop by the office on the way out. So I went back to the pines, trees, and I'm back praying again. Lord, please send some money some way. I went to answer the dinner bell for the breakfast. I mean, took my kids. We're all seated around the table. And a man came over, and he was sort of nervous-like. He was just a young man. He said, and he got down on one knee so he could talk privately into my ear. He said, Pastor, I've appreciated your ministry these days, been a help to me, and I just heard that your wife was in the hospital and perhaps you've got some special need financially. And he said, I hope you won't be offended if I give you this $10 bill. And I said to him, far from being offended, I said, thank you very much. I've been praying about that. And so he left happy, and I put that happy money in my pocket. After I finished eating, I went back. Now, God can take $10 from $20 and knows it's $10 missing yet. So, but anyway, I talked it over with my high finances, over with God. And then the bell rang, and I got my kids together, and we just went right from where our packed car ready to leave was, and I went over to the chapel. And I got up and I preached the last message. And in my mind, I'm diverted a little bit, thinking, $10. I've got to have that somehow. So I came down off of the platform, and a bunch of people lined up, and they were greeting and me and wishing us well, say they'd pray for Jane and me, and thanking me for the ministry. And all I had to do was go out that door and over to my car and drive out to the office. So I started toward the door, and a lady confronted me, and she said, Pastor, I want to thank you for this has ministered to my heart this week. And she put something in my hand, and I didn't say anything. Look, I just put it in my pocket. And then I went out across there. I told the kids to get in the car. And I got under the tree again. And I said, Lord, let it be. And it was $10. I don't even know the name of the person. But God knew. And remember, God can do the addition, and he knows the burden that's troubling you today, and he can help you, and he will, if you pray in Jesus' name. Now, in order to do that, you've got to bring your life into an alignment with Christ, and you're going to try to use the name of the one who shed his blood for your sin. And if God loves you enough, the Father, to put his Son on that cross, that he might stand between you and your sins, so that God can justly forgive your sin, then that God wants you to ask. He wants to answer when the prayer is in Jesus' name. I pray that you'll do that. Just before we close, we're going to have a closing prayer, and we'll begin today to try to line up our prayer lives and get them going. I'd like to suggest something to you. In order to pray in Jesus' name, you have to be in practice. It's no simple little matter. And the devil and everything in you will be a break and a drag against real prayer, not just routine muttering prayer and that sort of thing. Not that, but the real prayer. And so I'm going to suggest something. Determine, we'll do it right now. In a moment, we're going to stand and have our closing prayer on our feet, and I'll pray that for you. But I want you to, though, set a time in the in your morning schedule before you leave for work or whatever, or school. Just set a time, and if you just allow, get up 15 minutes earlier, and that's easy to accomplish if you go to bed a half hour earlier. Turn the TV off. TVs in the evening kill morning prayer. I'll guarantee you this, and I've sampled this before. Most people watch TV in the evening, a little bit at least. And much fewer people pray in the morning. Almost nobody really does it. So may I ask you to be honest with God, and you just set a time in the morning. Just get up 15 minutes early. Make sure that you give God a good 15 minutes. That's really baby praying, but it's at least you start. Soon you can make it a half hour. And later you may surprise yourself by having an hour with God. Select a place and put your Bible out and have it right there in that place if you want to get going like you should. And have it open. Where are you going to read? I like to ask people this question. Friend, where are you reading daily in the Bible now? Your daily. You should have a place. Well, start right today, dedicating yourself. Open your Bible, get it right ready tomorrow as you get up a few minutes early. And go to that place and have your time with God, and start with a gospel. Mark, if no place else. Start right in the way with the gospel of Mark. And go right through every day reading a little bit more. And complete the book. Go then next to John or one of the other Gospels. Read then the Acts. Then go to Romans. Your plate will just be full of blessings from God. And when you prepare your heart, do it this way. Decide ahead of time what you're going to say to God in thanks. How are you going to thank him? Just make some notes if you need to. Things to thank God for. Or read a psalm before you read in the gospel. Read a psalm and then pick out of that psalm all the things you can worship God for. He's like this. He does that. And bring it to God in prayer. And then finally, get some idea about requests. Make a prayer log, if you will. Have a little booklet or something and list down the requests that you've got. And God will start answering your prayers in a definite way. Let's stand together right now, and we'll just commit ourselves to God. Our Father, before we leave now, we want to join hands with each other and with you. We stand before you in the name of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. You've put him in charge. You've put all things under his feet. And now we plead before you that blood of Christ that he shed on the cross. And in the name and the authority of Christ, O God, break the back of the enemy. Destroy his strongholds, the things that he has resurrected and raised up and erected in our lives, in our imaginations. Deliver us, Father, from the wiles of Satan. We're no match, but he is no match for you. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We declare our victory in Christ. And, oh, Father, there are sorrows that are upon some hearts here that are dragging them down. There are burdens and worries, interfamily problems. But you're greater. Oh, Lord, we rest ourselves in you, and we make this prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his name. Amen. God bless you as you go.